I was at Awesome Games Done Quick 2026, and I'll talk about the runs that I hosted. Plus, LEGO has announced a smart brick that uses no generative AI. Tonight is January 11th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show is featuring your calls and chat comments up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I know, it's hogwash. All of it's hogwash. At least this setup worked. I didn't have to, like, reboot anything. Mike Deft asked, when was the last time Bobby hated on Halo? This week. But that was just me. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first 2026 edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here, thank you so much for being here. I know we were off last week, but you still remembered we were here, so thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. But we also have a Discord server because we are a podcast. So if you want to interact throughout the week and also give me ideas of stories to talk about, you can do that. And you can join our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. So come join us throughout the week. And you can get news about VOG Network stuff and talk about the stuff that's going on or share what's going on in your gaming life. It is a very low traffic server. We don't ping, so it's a nice chill vibe. First off, I do want to apologize a little bit if this episode is a little disjointed. I only got home a couple hours ago. From where I'm about to talk about, before I left, I dropped off my car at the body shop because when we came back from that trip in Florida, that I talked about, recently, we actually hit a tire that had flown off of an 18 wheeler. And so it messed up the bumper a little bit. The car was still drivable, but I'm like, well, while I'm out, I will have it at the body shop and get the bumper repaired. And so that's what I did. I dropped it off, on New Year's Day, actually. And then I was like, I was gone for 8 days. And then my wife, she got in her car to pick me up from the airport today, and it didn't start. So I had to, I used the backup strats, as we say in speedrunning, of taking the train north and then getting a lift from the far north train station to my house. So it took like 2 hours to get back from the airport, which is like a 35-minute drive. So, and we have no cars right now because her car is still not starting. We've tried to jump it and, you know, we've jumped it before. We know how to do that. So it's not starting. So we've got to figure out what's going on. But that also meant I really didn't get a chance to prepare as much as I have in the past on these wrap-up streams about Awesome Games Done Quick. I do still have stuff that I can show. I did not actually take my good camcorder this time. So there's not, like, I don't have, like, video walkthroughs of everything. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. So, in terms of my wife's car, there's been battery connector issues in the past, but that's not the problem here. We actually think it's like the alternator or something. So we're going to get it towed, get it looked at, and at an auto place here that we trust, and see if we repair it or if we sell it and get a new car. So happy 2026, everyone. My car is going to be fine. It takes time. Bodywork takes time. They can't do. They ordered all the parts before I took it in because the car was drivable, but it's not done yet. So hopefully, we'll have a car soon. We may rent a car later this week so we can get some stuff done. Because going from two cars to zero, like we were okay with going down to one car for a bit. Going down to zero cars in where I live in the suburbs of Atlanta, which is not walkable at all. Not good. So, I have no clue what's wrong with it. I didn't get home till like 2 hours ago, so it's not me. My wife is actually the bigger gearhead than I am because her dad worked on classic cars and like from like the 50s and the 60s. So she's more of the gearhead than I am. Anyway, this is a video game podcast, and so let's talk about video gamers doing good at Awesome Games Done Quick 2026. Just wrapped up at like 3 a.m. Eastern time. Because of a smoke detector going off, making us all stand outside in the 30 degree Fahrenheit Pittsburgh weather, and so it ended. We raised over $2.4 million for the Prevent Cancer Foundation, which is lower than what. You know, we've done in the past, you know, usually it's been in the 2.5 when everybody had money. It was in the 3 million range, but still $2.4 million is probably the most money that the Prevent Cancer Foundation has come in, usually gets throughout the year. So this is their biggest fundraiser of the year, just like how Summer Games Done Quick is Doctors Without Borders' largest single fundraiser for the year. So it's still a lot of money. And one of the things I didn't prepare to talk about is the fact that Prevent Cancer Foundation had to walk back a statement very early on. So I'm going to go ahead and just say it so you know I'm not trying to like hide it or cover it up or anything. On the first day when Prevent Cancer Foundation was announcing Awesome Games Done Quick that they were, you know, this was a, they're like, this is the thing your money's going for. A LLM chatbot to discuss blah, 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 blah. Now, Games Done Quick is extremely anti-generative AI, and I am using the term generative AI specifically. Because that's, you know, the non-deterministic language-based generative AI. And so PCF essentially walked it back and said none of the AGDQ funds are going to the chatbot. They're still doing the chatbot. They're just not going to use AGDQ's funds for it because they didn't. They shouldn't have, you know, they probably felt probably correctly. They didn't need to run by AGDQ what they were going to do with the money for the cancer research. So. So yes, that happened. That was walked back. That may color your perception of the Prevent Cancer Foundation, and you would be right to think that because they're not going to not invest in generative AI. They're just not going to use any. They claim, which because they are a 501c whatever, like all that stuff is public. You can actually like get the federal government requires them to publish their statements every year, so you know exactly what they're doing with the money, where it's going, blah, blah, blah. So, but I get it. Like, that was a very bad look on, and it was like point number one. They're like, the first thing we're going to do is a chatbot that uses LLM technology, and no. Mike Deft even points out that the person who was there, the PCF representative, says that even $42,000 goes a long way, so $2.4 million does a lot. And S. Jared and Matt does say, money is tighter for some folk lately because reasons. Yep. But over $2 million is still impressive and is going to do a lot of good. And so, yeah. So that happened. But it started up. It was up in Pittsburgh, which it was snowing or snow was on the ground when we got there. Then a heat wave came in. So I actually got to see what Pittsburgh looks like when it's not white everywhere. Then it snowed again this morning as we were leaving. I was, once again, this was my 11th time hosting on the mainline set. I did, I worked on Monday night and Thursday night, and it was cool. It was a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of people that I hadn't seen, that I usually only see twice a year. So let's go over some of the runs that I did. We're going to do the runs first, then I'll kind of go through some pictures that I took. I took a couple pictures, not too many, but... I'm making sure that I like set all this up, but I hadn't like hit play. So I don't know. We'll see how well this works. So the first run, that I did was, that I hosted for, Mario Kart World, all question mark panels. This was being run by Helix, who is, also one of the producers at GDQ and also does several other, speedrunning events. She ran this, and this is a category that her and her partner, Cabasco, kind of made up and kind of, you know, made it up. And she's the world record holder, actually got the world record in the practice room. But this is how fast can you get all 150 of the question mark blocks in the Mario Kart World open world section. So she's going through, and the strats here are doing a lot of the tricks, doing a lot of the wall rides, but also really abusing the rewind feature to go back to prep you for the other the next question mark block. So it was very technical, had a lot of great movement. And one of the interesting things is while you go into the menu, your cart still moves. So what she's doing is she gets close to the question mark block and is going right for it. She then hits pause and then warps to the next area. It still counts the question mark block. So you don't actually see Parabitty Bubby or Buddy, which I believe is the character that she's using. You don't actually see the question mark block being hit, but it is actually getting recorded. When you come back in, it gives you the notification that you hit it. So it was really cool. And there was a lot of great tech and strats being talked about, and you know how, you know why they route certain things so they can get from one to the other as quick as possible. What items they want. When, you know, they don't want the feather, but they do want, you know, unless in one specific case, they want the feather. So really interesting, really cool. There was a lot of great tech being talked about. Both Helix and Cavasco do run this category, so they're both very knowledgeable about it. So, yeah, it's very interesting to hear the tech on that. So after that, I got a race. So this is a race of Jack 3 by Zyfels and Bintendo. Now, Jack 3, the old PlayStation 2 game from 2004. So this was fun and interesting. It was like a throwback to a lot of people's childhoods, and they were doing some clips and things. And then there was a glitch exhibition that came on at the end, where they showed how they broke the game even more. But this was fun. They had some commentators that were very, you know, knowledgeable about the game and stuff. So it was another interesting one. Probably not. It wasn't as like fast paced as Mario Kart World, but it was one that, and both of these players, they were both debuts, first time ever at GDQ, not just on stage, but just at the event in general. And they really enjoyed it. They really enjoyed themselves. And the glitch exhibition at the end was pretty cool. Because they even have a debug code, like they have the debug menu and everything is there. So they could warp around and chain, you know, spawn things and stuff like that. Then the Jack block continued. So, because this is somebody I've hosted for before, very beloved person in the community, Jaxler. So that it went from Jack 3 to Jaxler. So I'm like, it's the Jack block playing Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver. And the fun thing about this is I've worked with Jaxler before. Is Jaxler is very enthusiastic about speedrunning and is the absolute opposite of gatekeeping about speedrunning. Jaxler wants to info dump and welcome anybody into any game that he loves. And he loves a lot of these games, even if they have some jank in them. He very much wants to get you into it and have fun with it and teach you and stuff like that. And he has a lot of fans and supporters, and they are very long-winded. And I didn't have that much time to read their donations, but there were some very, very touching donations for Jaxler. And this run also helped because of him, because he had a backup run in case somebody couldn't make it early on. And like they told him like in 2 hours, hey, can you be on? And it was like a 5 a.m. run. And it was because the Super Smash Brothers Brawl runner is, and they said this on social media, so I can repeat the, I feel okay repeating it. They had an anxiety attack. They were not able to handle the pressure of going on stage. It messed with their sleep schedule. They did not feel they could go on. So the Super Smash Brothers Brawl run got replaced by another, a Jaxler backup run. And the game soft locked. It crashed three times. He wound up what's called mercy killing the run, basically saying, I can't finish it. Let's finish. And that's where, you know, it was at 5 a.m. So it gets unhinged. And they're talking about like the Torment Nexus came in and, you know, never asked Jaxler what time it is in the hotel in Pittsburgh. Things. These are some of the memes that went on throughout the event. And then so this came by and it actually did crash at a very unfortunate time. So this run also got hit with the Torment Nexus, but he did actually finish it, and he did bounce back very well. He was he was fine by the time even we got to this point where we got to this game. But this was kind of the yes, I can actually do this, and it was great. A lot of fun, lot of info was dumped on this run. And I had so many donations, and they were all very long-winded from people, like, in the back couch, like people behind there in the audience. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't read it all. I'm sorry. So Jaxler's always fun to work with. I got to work with him a couple years ago. He was very, very complimentary. He was very stoked to hear that I was there for him. So it's always nice when a runner's like, I'm so glad you were the person that was chosen. So then that was my Monday night block. And then Thursday night, I once again got a game that I am not a huge player of, and it is Super Metroid. So Ryan Ford, who is actually an exceptional Smash Brothers Melee player, that's where he kind of got known in the scene. He's a very big Melee player. He also runs Super Metroid, and he did a category called GT Classic, and this is the Golden Torinzo cheat code. Basically, what happens is, there is a room, the Golden Torinzo, I believe is what it is. And if you hit all the face buttons in this room, you get like full energy, 900 missiles, and things like that. And so I'm going to see if I can find where he actually gets it. And it's basically you have to like hit all face buttons when coming in from a certain direction. And then it's basically the game's on Bobby Blackwolf mode at that point. I'm showing a thing on Twitch. You can see, like, he's got 30 energy, 5 missiles. He goes into this room, and he hits, like, a button code, and boom, full energy, 100 missiles, 20, 20, all that stuff. So now he's basically got everything. And this is something you can do in, you know, any copy of the game. This isn't a modded anything. This is a, you know, base copy of the game. It's a glitch, and you do it in this room. And, then he finishes the rest of the run, and it's a different route, for this. And so we obviously had the save versus kill bid war. Ryan informed me he had not practiced, the save the animals run. So we both were actually going for, the killing of the animals because, you know, speed, it's called speed gaming, not save gaming. And, unfortunately, Save the Animals won. So he tried, and he tried to swag and actually like bonked on a wall when he was trying to do like a six strat, and it didn't really work out. So, but we had fun with this. We were trying to raise money for the next run, and it was we had a ways to go. We had about $110,000 to go that we were trying to raise, and I do feel bad, and I apologized, and Ryan was really cool about it. There were two times that I didn't realize he was listening for an audio cue. And if there's one thing the internet hates, it's when the host talks over the game and the runner screws up an audio cue, and I did it twice. So I am very afraid to ever hear the internet talk about my hosting on this because there's no commentator, and Ryan only told me about the one quiet time. There was one serious time with one boss, but there were several other things where it's like he was just listening for a quick audio cue for this and didn't call it out. And so I filled the dead air trying to raise money for Prevent Cancer Foundation. So I felt bad about it. Ryan didn't. I felt worse about it than Ryan did because Ryan's like, it was still a great time. Like, come on. He was still underestimate. But he wasn't going. You don't go for world record when you're on GDQ. You're there to raise lots of money. So, I was getting kind of pinged, like, we were a little bit too chill, and we needed to get to $1 million in the next hour, and we had only raised $895,000. So, how did we get to that milestone? Well, we did it with an arcade showcase. So, this is very much the highlight of my week. And it wasn't just this. It was also, you know, just everything that went around doing this. So MyMy DX Prism Plus. There is a member of our community that posts in our Discord all about MyMy when they go play MyMy. So this is this is a rhythm arcade cabinet that looks like a washing machine. And I got to learn a lot about this this washing machine. So it, in this this rhythm game, it's the notes come out from a lot of the notes come out from the center and then go toward the edge. And as they hit the edge, there are eight buttons surrounding the screen. It's a circular screen. And there are eight buttons, so you need to hit the buttons with the time. But there's also a touch screen. So sometimes you will see things that slide around, and you're trying to, you have to follow on the touch screen. Or there are actual touch notes. That is what was added in DX. MyMy Finale is the game that a lot of places have, like round ones and stuff. DX Prism Plus was actually officially released in the U.S. by Sega in September. It was really interesting watching watching all the production go in for this, because Sega does not play when it comes to these cabinets. You need absolute special permission to move the cabinet anywhere. They will not hesitate to ban the cabinet and lock out most of its features if it is in a location it does not know. So you, like, arcade operators actually need like a static IP address. And they register that IP address with Sega, and that way they get to do the game. So bringing it to a convention, they then need to call Sega and say, we're doing it here. Sega actually does not approve bringing it to many conventions. I believe MAGFest also had Prism, but from what I understand, Sega does not just let people bring this to conventions. But they let round ones have it, and their other arcades, other independent arcades can have it. So they had a connection in the GDQ arcade, but the stage, when they moved it up to the stage, because yes, this was actually in the room, that's a different IP address. And they actually did, eagle-eyed MyMy players will actually notice about halfway through, the cabinet did get taken offline by Sega. And then they, like, there was like a panicked phone call to Sega of Japan, because it was Japan doing it. There was a panicked phone call to Sega of Japan to get it back online before the next set. And their eagle eye viewers were able to actually see the red warning saying you are now offline. We were prepared to, like, basically take it to a break screen, get on phone with Sega, get everything back online. But we didn't actually need to do that. They reconnected it before the cabinet came back. So there was some butt clenching going on there. And I can't remember exactly what set it was in, cause I'm like going around the YouTube video trying to find it. But there were some clenched butts at that time. Cause the arcade operator, Ikigai Arcade, is the arcade in Pittsburgh that provided the cabinets, and they love rhythm games. Both Null and Taka got to meet with them, talk with them a whole lot. And they were on top of it, and Sega of Japan was watching. So they were, you know, having, you know, so this was a big deal, and there were watch parties at arcades all around the country. And so this was great. Fifth Dream says, does Sega have nothing to do than babysit this game 24/7? Don't they have some Mikus to Hatsumi or Shadows to Persona? They are trying. So the problem that Sega is trying to solve is that there are a lot of unauthorized cabinets like this, and they don't like that. Now, you may disagree that they shouldn't care, but they don't like that. So they very much control where these cabinets are, and it's not, and there's no person banning it. They're just using an automated process, and they're like, oh, that's an IP address we don't have whitelisted. Boom, cabinet, we're turning it off. And Fifth Dream says, how could you engineer a fake one of these? It's people are trying to play it at home. So a lot of the songs are locked behind the network connection. And so it's essentially people, they don't want people to play this at home. They don't want people to have this in their home. Stuff like that. So it's that that's what they're trying to stop is the unauthorized stuff, because since these games were not in America, that these games were not officially in America, a lot of people were took matters into their own hands, and Sega's like, that's not cool. We if fine, we'll release it in America. We will officially release it in the US in English, but we're gonna put all these protections on it so you can't screw it up. So but it took like 3 hours to move the cabinet physically, because it's like 850 pounds. There's actually two cabinets together. They were using just one of the two cabinets, but you need to move both of them. There's a light bar at the top that they had to disassemble and bring back up. Apparently the front part, that's very, it's like egg carton plastic. So like it cracks easily. So they had to be super careful, like taking it through doorways and stuff like that. And Tiger Claw says an arcade game that only works when connected online. They actually have like a system, and I'll talk about it in a second, that rhythm game players all know about, but, where you can actually like get progression in the game, which also gets you coming back for more. You get achievements and you unlock other songs and you get to store your high scores, but it needs the network to do that. So what we actually had, there was a two incentives, and it was the Utage incentive was the big incentive that we were having, that we're trying to go for first. And this Utage loosely means party in Japanese, banquet, party, something like that. But it's co-op, and it's not co-op in the sense of, you know, you've got two cabinets, you have one person on each side. No. It's co-op in the sense of you have two people on one cabinet. So they started it off with two players. So they had the commentator and one of the runners doing a song where each person had one side of the screen. And then they actually move halfway through. So they're like on the left and the right. And then they move halfway through. I went too far. So they start off left and right, and then they move. And so it's two people on one cabinet. And this song went really, I think they full comboed it, which is great. And then they did a three. They invited, so it was both runners and their commentator did a song. And so here's the problem with that was that they didn't have anybody on the headset anymore, because the both runners and the commentator were up there. So I actually had to learn the run, and I actually commentated it. And right before we were about to do this, they're like, you should actually also be reading donations. So I am balancing going between commentating and telling you what they're doing, and then reading donations, because we were, we were about $12,000 away from the $1 million that we needed. So I learned the run. I watched them actually do this like three or four times and learned it. They gave me notes, and they actually gave me really good notes with like visuals. Like they actually took pictures, screenshots and stuff. It was like, this is what's going on here. So, you know, I kind of knew what was coming up. So that was fun. But what's better than two? What's better than three? There's eight buttons on the screen, right? So we wound up after that, after this song, we went to eight players. And so there were actually eight. There were five people on the back couch, and they are all like, I think like unofficially top 20, top 30 my players in the world. And they each took one button each and did one song, where each of them had their own button. And once again, I also had to commentate this. So many hands. And Breakman asked, where are they going to fit? Are you hanging from the rafters? Well, if you notice, like some people are kneeling, some people are on the side. They were able to get it to work. It's yeah. So nobody was dangling upside down or anything like that. So this was, and I got to, I was commentating on this as well, and I got to introduce each runner and say which community they came from. It was really special. It was a lot of fun, and it was great. And they were all really wonderful to work with. I was able to say, look, I've got a background in 2DX, Beatmania 2DX, and those old school Beatmania games, so I understand rhythm games. And so that kind of helped. that helped with them as well. So then after this, we got so close to the million, but then they cut over to prizes, and that's when they hit the million. So this is actually the second event in a row that the interstitial team took the $1 million that got earned while I was on shift as the host. So I didn't get to pop off for the $1 million for the second time in a row, but it's fine. We still raised $1 million at that point on Thursday night for Prevent Cancer Foundation. So I was a little bitter for a little bit because I kind of wanted to pop off for it. And like, we literally got to like 998,000. We had like $2,000 remaining, and they're like, we're going to prizes right now, is what I heard, got heard in my ear. And they went to prizes, and like literally 30 seconds later, we got the $1 million. But they didn't want it to look like we were purposely stalling, because GDQ has been known to do that before. So they wanted to be like, nope, we're going to go and just do our normal content. And whenever the million hits, it hits. And it wound up hitting like 30 seconds after they went and said, we're not going to stall. So that was my. So we did hit it. And then so that $1 million actually got a little bit more of the run. We had one more, and it was the level 15 showcase, which was these are the hardest songs in the game. And it is nonsense. So when I kept saying on GDQ, I said, you know, this is all nonsense. This is all this is nonsense. You want to see this nonsense. That's because I could not ever say on GDQ or even on social media as a host of GDQ, I wanted to say, what the f*** is this bullshit? That's really what I wanted to say. But that is obviously not something I can say on GDQ. So every time you probably heard me say, this is all nonsense, I'm really like, this is all fucking shit. That's what I'm actually saying. So, and so this is one of the top runners in the world, not the top runner, the top MyMy player in the world. I believe the top MyMy player world is in Japan, and was not, for good reason, not willing to come to the U.S. right now. And that's a whole other topic we're not going to get into right now. So, now some people were like, I looked at this and I noticed I could never play MyMy. Now, these are the hardest, like these are like master, which is like the fourth category of stuff. You could absolutely probably, you know, get the hang of basic and even advanced. Like so one of the things that they did, which was really very nice of them, was Raviel, actually, the commentator, who actually did come in from Singapore. So they did get somebody international come in, actually bought me an AIM card. I'm guessing it's AIM. It's AIM. It looks like Nemo, but AIM. So this is the RFID card that stores all your progress in games like MyMy and Waka. So I was able to create a profile, and so I actually now have some progress of my own in MyMy through this card. And so I can actually go to any arcade that has MyMy and has it connected, and I can continue my progress. And that was actually it was a nice gift from Raviel, the commentator. So now I'm in the washing machine cult. And so I'm able to play the easier stuff. Now, let's see here. What's my slideshow? So I actually have a slideshow, some pictures that show some of this stuff. And they actually had some very good rules. Like I said, Ikigai Arcade up in Pittsburgh actually does care about these machines. So they mandated everybody needs to wear gloves. They provided free gloves. Everybody needs to take their rings and their watches off. Things like that. So they mandated a lot of that, which meant that the machines were not as busted as you would think they would be. So I did touch the buttons, and I played MyMy early in the week. So we got some of the pictures here of the practice of that I got of some of them practicing their 8-player stuff. So I was able, I actually pushed some of the buttons and stuff. I also had some other like just generic pictures of like what the event looks like from the hotel. Also, there was pinball. So I mentioned what those pinball games were, but they were all there, got to play all of them, including the Super Mario Brothers, the full version. Charles Martinet's first ever appearance as Mario was in that pinball machine. So I got to play some of those. So that was a lot of fun. Not online. There was one Stern, and it had the QR code reader, but it was not online. So, yeah. The other thing that I wanted to that I had in my slideshow that I was showing earlier was there was a VR game, and it was Richard Burns Rally. And Richard Burns Rally is like a 2004 racing game, but it is apparently the pinnacle of rally racing sims. And they actually brought in the runner is an actual like esports rally driver. And he also brought his rig. And on the couch, they brought an actual professional real rally driver that actually like drives the real cars and stuff. And even one of the things that they did was they had the... They had one of the tracks, because in rally racing, you have somebody on the radio telling you what the turns are, you know, slight right, chicane, left, blah, blah. And so one of the tracks, they actually had the professional rally driver on the couch actually call out all the turns to the rally driver that was in VR. So it was pretty cool. And I did get to see I actually got to see the rig. I didn't get to sit in the rig because I had somewhere else to be. But it's this little wooden. He's got a racing seat. He's got a shifter on the right, and then a real racing wheel and all the clutch pedals and everything. And then he uses a Valve Index and plays this game from 2003. So it's Richard Burns Rally. I believe one of the videos I had that was very, very short does actually have somebody playing in it, but they didn't play it for long, so I could not get too much in too much of it. This person unfortunately could not handle the VR, so they got out pretty quickly. So I did also take some video of some of the nonsense during practice and warm-ups of the my runners, so you can see, you know, all what they were looking like practicing in there. So yeah, that was a lot of the fun of GDQ. Now, I guess I should talk about what they announced at the end, because this is what people probably want to hear about. So, go back to the slideshow here. So the first thing that they announced was, oh yeah, and in the fire, this was my picture out in the cold in the fire drill. I posted this on my Blue Sky. I was like, it's cold out here, and it's all of us out in the lobby. Three fire trucks came and everything. So they announced SGDQ 2026 is taking place July 5th through 11th in Minneapolis, which means a lot of people are going to be flying on the 4th of July up to Minneapolis, and it is during the World Cup. Something to know, it's during the World Cup, so that's going to be fun. I don't know if I'm in like a lottery to, you know, sell my like fifth born kid at this point to get World Cup tickets. And I don't think I went for the match that was during this week in Atlanta, but I don't remember. And SJM asked, the Rush concert is in July. No, it's not, because I sold those tickets. I'm going to the Atlanta Rush concert in November. I sold John from Critical Myth. Actually bought my two tickets to the New York show that it was originally at the end of July. So at face value, I'm like, this is how much Ticketmaster charged me. So John sent me that exact amount down to this penny. I sent him the tickets, and then I got the ones from I got the Atlanta show. And that's in November. It's like the night before Thanksgiving. So, yeah. July's not all that bad. But then, after that, they announced AGDQ 2027, January 3rd through 9th in Atlanta, which has apparently been in the works for a couple months. Sometimes people like leak a little things. I was told this was most likely a possibility, like basically like the first person I ran into last Saturday when I got in, basically told me this and stuff. So I do not know where in Atlanta it is. They are smart enough to not tell me that. So I don't know what hotel. I don't know. And I won't know until October where it's going to be. Because they don't want people like getting the rooms early or anything like that. So they don't announce, like, they don't even announce where the Minneapolis location, even though we are pretty sure it's going to be the same place it's been for the past couple of years. We don't know that for sure because it has moved since I've been doing GDQ. But yeah, so it's going to be taking place in Atlanta. It's no longer going to be taking place in Pittsburgh. Nothing against the city of Pittsburgh, but that hotel kind of sucked. But it's the only mid-size hotel in downtown Pittsburgh. So that was basically like the only place that could fit GDQ or in terms of, you know, fitting what it is or not being too big. So I don't expect GDQ to be in like the hotels that Dragon Con is in because those are too big. So I don't know where it's going to be in the area. But they're going to be doing a GDQ here in Atlanta on January 3rd through 8th. And so it'll still be a little cold, but it's not going to be snowing. And then we'll probably get a freak snowstorm that week because that's what happens to us. So I think it's great. I was surprised because I know that, you know, there are certain the reason that AGDQ is not in Orlando like it was supposed to be for long term is because Florida does some questionable things and has some questionable laws. And guess what? Georgia does, too, but not as many as Florida. And we are, and Atlanta specifically, especially Atlanta, is a little more tolerant and more diverse and more accommodating than a lot of the rest of Georgia, the state of Georgia. So, yeah, like the state of Georgia, probably not very trans friendly. The city of Atlanta is fine. And the city of Atlanta, it should be pointed out, one of the big conventions that's in the city of Atlanta is Furry Weekend Atlanta. It's a huge LGBT party as well as being furries. And it's fine. And Dragon Con, like, is extremely, like, has so much LGBT representation, and it's fine. So, and it's also near a major airport, because that's the problem that some people had with, like, Pittsburgh, is that there's not that many international flights to Pittsburgh. And a lot of international flights go nonstop to Atlanta, because that's just the way it is here. So they have, so even though there are some questionable decisions at the state level, in terms of political things, the city of Atlanta is very vastly different. So I expect it to be downtown, in downtown Atlanta, kind of in the same general vicinity of where Dragon Con is, but not those hotels because those hotels are way too big. There's the attendance cap is 2,500 people, and there's the Marriott down there is way too cavernous for just 2,500 people. I'll probably be attending AGDQ even if I don't make it in as a host. So that was the answer. It kind of got a tepid reception because a lot of people, the thing about when they're in an area is that a lot of the locals become part of this. Like at SGDQ, there's a lot of Minneapolis locals that are part of it. And at AGDQ, there started to be a lot of Pittsburgh locals. And so now that it's moving to Atlanta, they're like, I'm not going to Atlanta for this. This was Pittsburgh. This was ours, and it was theirs for 3 years, and then it moved because it used to be in Maryland. It used to be in Virginia, and then it went down to Florida, and then it went to Pittsburgh. Now it's in Atlanta. So it didn't get a really good reaction because people are like, this is ours. This was the one thing we had in Pittsburgh, and I do feel for them, but that hotel also sucked. Like, the rooms were terrible. In the past, the management was terrible, which led to things being in disrepair. The current management's doing their best, but it's still not great. So I will miss Pittsburgh. I will not miss the hotel that AGDQ was taking place in. So, yeah, and everybody would be like, oh, it should be in my state. It should be in my state. There are a lot of factors that go into it. And they chose Atlanta, and I am grateful and thankful, and I think it's going to be great. I actually also think that AGDQ might actually hit their attendance cap because I believe we never hit the attendance cap for AGDQ. SGDQ hits the attendance cap every year. 2,500 people sign up and pay and get registered for AGDQ or for SGDQ in summer. And I think maybe like we hit like 1,900 to 2,000 for Pittsburgh. And I think we're going to get more when it's in Atlanta. And we're going to get new diverse people that are part of GDQ. And as Jared Matt says, I was thinking about trekking to Pittsburgh for a GDQ one of these years. Guess not now. No, and it is going to still go up for MAGFest. And there were a lot of people, because I know S. Jared Matt was at MAGFest, which was this weekend, down in National Harbor, Maryland. There were people that left GDQ to go to MAGFest. And there was one person that I know that left GDQ, went to MAGFest, and came back to GDQ. So basically, like, they left Thursday, spent Thursday afternoon, because I think it's only like a couple hour train ride. They spent Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon there. Friday night came back to Pittsburgh and came back to GDQ. And they live in Pittsburgh. Mike Duff says they probably want to see the Mega perform. No, they were actually like working MAGFest, and they were working MAGFest TV and things like that. So they actually had like responsibilities there. So I heard MAGFest was pretty good. I heard it was a good time. One day, maybe if they're not in January, I'll go. You know, Breakman says I want to see the Megas perform. I got to see the Megas perform. They performed SGDQ, and I was there. So anyway, $2.4 million raised for charity for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. We'll be back in summer. Doctors Without Borders will be the charity then. At least that's what I'm assuming. And will I be there? I don't know. We host re-audition every single time to make it fair. They do like to rotate in new voices. So probably what's going to happen is like, we'll get to Atlanta and they'll be like, yeah, no, we don't want you as a host. It's in your backyard, but we don't want you as a host, which then I'll just like get an attendee badge and go down for like a day and like see people and then, you know, just like come back home and work, you know, it'll just be a kind of a social visit at that point. But we'll see. Anything can happen. So I spent a lot of time talking about that. So I didn't talk that much, or I had, just in case, I had a topic to talk about, and we can run through it real quick about the news. This was something that was posted in the Discord server. This actually, I think, came out, or no, this is the more recent news. I had like something else in there, but this is about Lego. And because it was CES was also in the time that we've been away. And The Verge reports that on March 1st of 2026, which, by the way, I had to like do a double take. I'm like, that's so far away. I'm like, no. We're in 2026 now. So that's like a month and a half from now. The Lego Group will begin selling the most ambitious brick it's ever made, a tiny computer that fits entirely inside a classic 2x4 Lego brick. When it detects NFC-equipped smart tags nearby, embedded inside new LEGO tiles and new LEGO minifigures, or when it sees other smart bricks, the company claims it will make the entire LEGO sets come to life, starting with the humming lightsabers, roaring engines, light-up blasters, and the music of LEGO Star Wars. These smart bricks and smart play initiatives, just announced at CES 2026, aren't like the huge LEGO Mario toys that required two AAA batteries and mostly only activated with their bottom-mounted cameras detected color or barcodes. They're wirelessly charged with a pad that can charge multiple bricks at a time and a battery that will still perform after years of inactivity. They have light and sound, light sensors, inertial sensors to detect movement, tilt, and gestures, and they form a Bluetooth mesh network with other smart bricks, so they're aware of each other's position and orientation, so LEGO Star Wars ships and figures could do battle, for example, or so the Imperial March plays when you sit Emperor Palpatine on his throne. When built into LEGO cars, the bricks could detect when which one crosses a finish line first, or change from engine noises to crashing sound effects if the vehicle's flipped over. The computer inside is a custom ASIC that is smaller than a single LEGO stud and is firmware updatable by a smartphone app. And if you're wondering what they mean by LEGO stud is the little, like, the circle on the top of the LEGO brick. That's a stud. You are probably not a stud, but maybe you are. I don't know. The bricks also have a microphone, one that LEGO Group spokesman Jessica Benson explains can be used as a virtual button rather than recording anything. They said, quote, I've seen it where you blow on it. You put it on a birthday cake, for instance. It makes things happen. It's very much used as another sensor point. It's not recording any details. It's just picking up those inputs that are to do with sound and reacting in real time to what the kids are doing with it, unquote. And it does say here, there is no AI, and I'm going to assume they mean generative AI, in this product at all, Benson confirms, and no camera. So the Mario piece actually has a camera on it. The Lego Mario and the Peach and stuff like that, that is a camera because it scans barcodes. So these are not compatible with the tiles. I was sent over a YouTube video because I was trying to find one and I couldn't find it real quick about how these tiles work. So I'm going to narrate it as well to the audience. So because obviously this is a podcast, it's an audio podcast. Most of you aren't watching. So he put something put a little thing on top of one of the smart tiles. And he's showing that when he moves one of the two smart bricks around, it changes what lights are on the other brick. So he can change, and this being changed from blue to green, and he's explaining things as well. And so I don't have all the explanations for it, but he's moving it around, and it's like changing what the lights are, going from green to blue or yellow based on the position of the other smart brick. One of the things that I actually haven't been able to play that much with on with Lego is doing a lot of like motion stuff or doing a lot of stuff with the robotics and stuff. And I watch Lego Masters, the TV show, and everything's like, you need to incorporate motion. And I don't have anything that really incorporates motion. I have physical motion, like the hand crank on Pac-Man, but there's not that much like sets out there that actually have like a robotic thing that you would program and things like that. I had Mindstorms at the time. But it was the old Mindstorms that only worked over a serial port connection, and it needed to be on COM 1 or to COM 4, one of those four. And if you get a RS-232 to USB, it's on like COM 9, and the old software from the 2000s just doesn't work with it. So I couldn't use the Mindstorms that my father had, bought. So now he's showing the cars, and I'm assuming that like, sounds are happening when, you know, things get close here. And, so the Breakman says, kids today have no idea how much better their toys are. And you know what, Breakman? You had no idea how better your toys are from your parents. That is a thing that has always happened. Every kid's toys are better than their parents. So, the first ships, first sets shipping March 1st will all be Lego Star Wars, a $70 473-piece Darth Vader's TIE Fighter set with one smart brick, one TIE Fighter smart tag, and one Darth Vader smart figure. A $100 584-piece Luke's Red 5 X-Wing set with one smart brick, five tags, an X-Wing, Imperial Turret, Transporter, Command Center, and R2-D2 accessories, and both Luke and Leia minifigs. And a $160, 962-piece throne room duel and A-Wing set with two smart bricks, three figs, Luke, Emperor Palpatine, and Vader, and five tags, A-Wings, throne, Death Star turret, and two lightsabers. These are actually, like, smaller. Is what the last thing that I was going to have had in here is that a lot of these, like, physically, they are smaller, but the smart brick is what brings the price up. So, like, you could probably get one without a smart brick that is larger, like an X-Wing fighter that's larger for less than $100. But because the smart brick's in there, that raises the price. S. Jeremy Matt says, there is a rumor and speculation, that one of the Pokemon sets later this year will have this. Wake me when a Star Trek one has it. That's the one I want. And that is, that was the news. That's the, you know, the good stuff that happened. There was a lot of not good stuff that happened this week. And we don't want, you know, this is the 1 hour we can kind of get away from that. So I hope you're taking care of yourself, when you're on social media with everything going on this week. I hope, you know, step away a little bit. Like it's good to be in the know, but you don't need to hyper-focus on it. You don't need to doom scroll constantly. It is very good to be aware. It is very good to have an opinion. It is very good to, you know, learn what's going on. But please, you know, do your best to not let it take over your life, because you're not as effective if you burn out on doom scrolling. And that has nothing to do with video games, but that is life advice in 2026 from your friend Bobby Blackwolf. So normally I take a music break. I didn't take one this week. Because AGDQ. was there. And Fifth Dream does say Animal Crossing New Horizons update is this week. Forget real life. Maybe I will go back into Animal Crossing. I don't know. I haven't booted it up in years because it reminds me too much of the time that I played it too much and what was going on. But maybe, I don't know. Dark Sia says, trying to game more, trying to bring back the weekly DDR sessions in between the doom scrolling, as long as you're, you know, doing something. Dark Socrates says, my desire to stay is, quote, it's an air quote. So I don't think Dark Socrates is actually saying, I think it's a quote. Quote, my desire to stay informed is in direct conflict with my desire to stay sane, unquote. That's what we call a mood. We are going to play some marbles on stream a little bit here. New season. I actually unlocked even like a subscribers can get a different ball. I've played enough. We're going to play a little bit of marbles. I don't know. Maybe the last time we play marbles for a bit. I don't know. We will learn this week, won't we? Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. So we're going to be doing that. And then I will be back with regular news stuff. This next week, I will actually be more prepared this time. I will have, things kind of more in a row. But hey, this is what you get when I landed and got into my house 3 hours ago now, 2 hours before showtime. This is what you get. And, you know, the cats needed to be said hi to. So it's not like I could just walk right in and, you know, come straight up to the computer. I had to, you know, see my pouty cats. They were very upset that I left. They didn't like the fact that I left. Anyway. So that's it for me. And I hope everybody has a good con or fest or recovery week. If you went to CES or MAGFest or GDQ or something like that, thank you so much for being here. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over here at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. You can also send me a bumper for use on the show if you want to, either an audio file of just your voice or a video file of just your voice. I will choose which DMCA violation to put behind it stuff. And you can also find me over on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com, on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf on Instagram, over on the Vogue Network Discord, VogueNetwork.com/Discord for that. And I do want to say that there is a return coming soon here on Vogue Network, and you will be able to find more information about that when there's a lot of stuff going on, when you can learn more about that either on our Discord server or on VogueNetwork.com on Blue Sky. That is the tag for the Vogue Network account. But I will also retweet or repost it. There's no such thing as tweeting anymore. Twitter's gone. X is not Twitter, and I'm not on X. I have an account on X, but it's, you know, it's already been scraped by all the AI, so I just keep it there so nobody else can take the name. ZenMonkey11 says, if you want your Animal Crossing fixed without playing Animal Crossing, try Dream World Value. Probably Dreamlight Valley is what you're talking about. Disney Dreamlight Valley. My wife plays the hell out of Dreamlight Valley. Or Wobbly Life. So we will be back and playing some marbles in just a moment. I will be back here on the podcast feed next Sunday. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this all work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond to help us stay on the air here at Vogue Network. Dark Sakura resubscribed. Thank you so much. Pod Culture resubscribed. Dark Tetsuya resubscribed, saying 5 years subbed plus 45 months because of Twitch math. Yeah. S. Sharner Matt shared 300 bits. And I believe that got us a hype train, so we were able to get a hype train. Thank you so much. First hype train of 2026 for us. And, also we just got a gifted sub. Gifted a sub to Dark Soccer, gifted a sub to ZenMonkey11, who has promised to, ZenMonkey11 says, I'll take you around VR chat. I'll show you the metaverse. And who knows? Maybe at some point we'll take him up on it. Not tonight, though. I got to unpack and stuff. Anyway, where is the button that plays the music to get us out of here? It is right here. There it is. I remembered where it was. All right. See you next week. Thank you so much. If you donated to Prevent Cancer Foundation from GDQ, thank you as well. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.